Glorious God, we come together to you today as a congregation of your followers who believe in the righteousness of your Son, Jesus Christ. We come together as a people who believe in the Holy Spirit, which has come upon us and given us power. And we come together as a people who desperately long to be with you in all of your glory. May this message be a blessing to those who speak it and hear it, and may it be true in your sight. Amen. Morning. I'm very blessed to be invited to come and speak here in front of you today. I kind of feel like this is becoming a second home to me. I've sung in front of you twice now, and I worked for a time in the office while Liana was away. So thank you very much for inviting me to speak here today. I'm going to begin with a bit of a funny story, a modern parable, as it were. In a certain pond, on one of the farms in the east, were two ducks and a frog. Now, these neighbors were the best of friends. All day long, they used to play together. But as the hot summer days came, the pond began to dry up, and soon there was such a little bit of water that they all realized they would have to move. Now, the ducks could easily fly to another place, but what about their friend, the frog? The ducks and the frog put their heads together, and finally they decided to place a stick in the beak of each duck, and the frog would grasp onto the stick with his mouth as they flew him to another pond. So off they went. As they were flying, a farmer out in the field looked up and saw them and said, "Well, isn't that a clever idea? I wonder who thought of that." The frog opened his mouth and said, "I did." And he fell to the ground with a big splat. I have a very fond memory of my late grandfather, Jake Franson. He was a very faithful man. He was a lay minister in his church for many years. He read the Bible every day. And when you had lunch with him, you were sure to hear a devotional read out of a devotional booklet. He took his faith very seriously. So I was taken aback one day when he said to me, "Matthew, if being proud wasn't a sin, I'd be so proud of you." I didn't quite know how to take that. As you can imagine, I've often joked to friends, "Why, I didn't really want to make my grandfather sin." The author C.S. Lewis, known both for his wonderful Chronicles of Narnia books, as well as his many Christian writings, once said, "According to Christian teachers, the essential vice, the utmost evil, is pride. Unchastity, anger, greed, drunkenness, and all that are mere flea bits in comparison. It was through pride that the devil became the devil. Pride leads to every other vice. It is the complete anti-God state of mind." The idea of pride has often been a focal point for me in my faith. God often calls us to be humble. The Catholic Seven Deadly Sins includes pride, often called the original and most serious of the seven deadly sins. In Proverbs 8, verse 13, we're told, "The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate." Proverbs chapter 16 tells us that pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be lowly in spirit and among the oppressed than to share plunder with the proud. It's verses like these that have often caused me to fearfully avoid pride. Christ tells us that the meek and the poor in spirit are blessed. So should we not seek to be meek and poor in spirit, hiding desperately from pride? The fear I have is that this desperate need not to be proud is a trap. We are so focused on indignantly not being proud that we take pride in our humility. I have often caught myself thinking, "I'm showing such humility here, and giving myself a pat on the back for that, smiling to myself, proud of my meekness. I think that often we as Mennonites have a guilty pleasure of being proud of not being proud. So, how do we as Christians proceed? I'll address that question in a minute, but first I'd like to look at our scripture verse for today. The reading from Romans chapter 5 is a very well-known verse. It begins, "Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God." We boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. That does not sound meek or poor in spirit. While Proverbs tells us to be wary of pride, that it can well lead us down a path of destruction, Romans reminds us that we can be boastful, and dare I say it, proud, of our hope of sharing the glory of God. It is not a question of pride inherently being good or evil, but rather what we are focusing our pride on. Being proud of ourselves, proud of our works, proud of our talents and gifts. These are the kinds of pride that Proverbs warns us will lead down a destructive path. The book of Romans, however, tells us how to be proud or boastful in three ways. The first, as I read before, is boasting in our hope of sharing the glory of God. So, what does that mean? The glory of God referred to here is that glory which we receive having been justified by faith. It is because of our faith that we are accepted into God's kingdom and God's glory. So, our boasting, then, is in our faithfulness and in God's grace. The second form of boasting is found in verses 3 and 4, where it says, "We also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, and character produces hope." We boast in our sufferings. This, perhaps, is something that many of us know about. For those of us who can trace our lineage back through the Ukraine or Russia or Prussia, or any other country that caused our ancestors to flee due to religious persecution, revolution, or economic hardship, this is something of a second nature to us. A relative of mine, let's call her Susan, found herself in a conversation with a woman whose family lineage had gone through many such hardships. This other woman moaned and groaned about how her people had struggled, all the while wearing designer clothes and expensive jewelry. When Susan joined the conversation by saying that her ancestors had also been repressed, the woman said to her, "Oh, you've suffered too." Susan found this to be an interesting way of looking at things, because from her perspective, neither of them had really suffered a whole lot. So what does it mean to boast in your sufferings? Surely Paul, when writing the book of Romans, did not mean for us to wail and beat our chests as loudly as possible, proclaiming that we really have the worst of it all. Paul tells us in Romans that we should boast in our suffering because suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. And character produces hope. We aren't, then, boasting in our own endurance. Nor are we blessed with suffering. Rather, our suffering is an opportunity for God's grace and love to show itself in its fullest capacity. Paul writes, "Hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us." So our suffering is where the Holy Spirit manifests itself in the form of hope in God. First, we were boasting in the hope of sharing the glory of God in our faithfulness and his grace. Second, we were boasting in our sufferings because they are a place for the Holy Spirit to do its work, The third and final form of boasting is found in verse 11, where it reads, "More than that, we even boast in God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." This boasting is in Christ's sacrifice and in God's forgiveness. It is not a coincidence that there are three forms of boasting here. The first is in God. The second is in the Holy Spirit. And the third is in Jesus Christ. When we think of boasting and of pride, we often think of the things that we have done for ourselves or things that our family have done. Ways we have proven our worth, proven our intelligence, proven our strength. In the book of Romans, Paul calls us to be proud instead of God in all his manifestations. The change of focus from ourselves to God is an important one here. If I got that promotion at work or aced that test at school, I shouldn't be proud of my own accomplishment because I didn't give myself the hands or brain or will to accomplish these tasks. I would be taking credit for God's work. One writer says, "It is not in understanding ourselves that we find it possible to understand God, but in focusing upon Him that we begin to understand ourselves." I'll say that again. It is not in understanding ourselves that we find it possible to understand God, but in focusing upon Him that we begin to understand ourselves. A story this reminds me of is of the prodigal son in the Gospels. A wealthy man has two sons. One of his sons demands his inheritance, leaves, squanders all of the money, and then returns defeated. The father, rejoicing in the son's return, has a feast in his honor. The second son, however, is indignant. When approached by his father, the second son says, "Look, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends." The second son here is having exactly our conundrum. He's trying to find the glory in his own works, proudly proclaiming that he has worked faithfully. What the second son doesn't understand is that this celebration is not about the glory of the first son. It's about the Father, God, being glorified, and both sons and all of the farmhands were welcome to join in this celebration. So too must we be proud of God and boast in God. The Bible is full of examples of faithful people extolling, proclaiming, and boasting in God. Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 to 24 say, "Let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches, but let the one who boasts boast about this, that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth, for in these I delight." In our reading from the Psalms today, the psalmist repeats the chorus, "O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth." Psalm 150 tells us how to praise God, not quietly to ourselves, but with the sounding of the trumpet, the harp, and the lyre, with timbrel and dancing, strings and pipes, and the clash of cymbals. We aren't just supposed to love God and be faithful. We aren't just supposed to praise Him in church on Sunday or among our Christian friends. In Matthew chapter 5, we read, "No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone." We should express our pride in God, focused on God, not ourselves, lest we fall to the trap of the hypocrites in Matthew 6, which reads, "When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, That is all the reward they will ever get. It is not the praying in public that's the problem. It is in the hypocrite's need to be recognized for their actions. If their pride was in God's glory instead of themselves, their public prayer would be sincere and righteous. I am often humbled by the language used by my fellow Christians. Language such as, "Boy, God's creation sure is beautiful today." Or, "I plan on going camping next week, God willing." These are precisely the kinds of thing someone who is boastful in God would say. I find too often my language lacks this beautiful sincerity. If we are to have the kind of boasting that the book of Romans calls us to, we must learn to see the world through these eyes. We must remember to see God as the sole creator of all things good. We must remember that all of our good deeds and acts are done for the glory of God, not for ourselves. But our call is not only to see the world through Christian eyes. We are also called to boast, to tell those around us how good God is, to not let pride in ourselves get in the way of pride and boasting in God. Do not let pride in yourself stop you from clapping to your favorite hymn. Do not let pride in yourself stop you from telling those at work you are Christian. Do not let pride in yourself stop you from being a light that shines in the darkness. Rather, do all of these things, boasting in God, in the hope of sharing the glory of God, in our sufferings because they are a place for the Holy Spirit to do its work, and in Christ's sacrifice, and in God's forgiveness. Amen.